I can tell who's on the way out. 25 shows, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out.
Do you fucking ask questions on this show, or do you just sit here?
I'm really absorbing everything you're saying. Yeah. To be honest, I got the chills.
You're the first, like,
I'm really just kidding. I got a guy behind my back the whole time.
I know, I'm throwing a hammer on your head.
I'm ready to throw a wall right now.
Yeah, it's like probably the first guest we had,
like,
that has
actually,
like,
I'm like
giving
him
very,
like,
good wisdom.
Shit.
That's why I gave you the flowers on that. Like, you're very good at
giving. You.
I know you don't call it wisdom, but to us, that's what it seems like.
Well, I guess it's earned wisdom through experience, but it's like, you know, my father not being around, I know what that felt like. So I'm gonna be a present father.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, being jumped by kids or being insulted or bullied and stuff, I know how it made me feel. So I'm gonna make sure I never make somebody feel that way. So it's like, you know what you don't like in life.
Right?
So then that already gave you the answers of how you should not treat other people.
Don't act like that.
And most people don't even, it's like the answers are right there.
Yeah.
And you're not even paying attention. You're looking for answers all over the place, and they're right here.
How old is your son?
I have a 19-year-old son, a 2-year-old son, and a 4-year-old daughter.
Damn. Sports? You a sports guy?
I'm a Boston sports guy.
Boston sports guy?
Not sports, just Boston sports.
You kids play sports at all or no?
No, my son, Jack, is a brilliant mind. And if you think, like, my wisdom, he basically is a 19-year-old kid with, like, my kind of wisdom.
Damn, that's awesome. That's dope.
It's dangerous, buddy. Like,
good to have.
He's super intuitive, super aware of himself. But also what he's has focused on is, like, writing and directing.
That's
so
dope.
He's not, when I say this, I'm only saying this using it as, like, an example of original.
Yep.
He's aiming to be like another Quentin Tarantino. Not Quentin Tarantino, but like someone that thinks
something
differently,
like,
and from a different perspective. And like, I mean, he reads like
even
two,
like,
books.
Jordan Peele. You watch the Jordan Peele movies?
Yeah, like the horror movies?
Like,
yeah.
I always love his spinoffs on those movies.
Yeah, we do too. But no, he writes, and he bought all his own equipment. He reads books. He watches everything. He just went to film school in Paris for the summer.
Damn, that's awesome.
So, yeah. And dude, this guy, when he turned 18 with his own money, bought a one-way ticket to Europe and went to 6 countries on his own with a backpack.
Just backpacking at 18.
Comes back home. Then he's like, then for his next birthday, he takes himself to Ireland for 2 weeks.
Damn. Well, it's a testament to how he grew up, probably, and how you raised him, because that's parents.
Well, you know what he said to me? This is the most profound thing as a parent, if there's any parents watching. So we're, like, sitting in the jacuzzi. That's kind of where we have our dad, father, we have our talks there a lot. And I go, hey, what made you decide to just buy a one-way ticket and go to Europe? And this is the most profound thing that any parent would be so proud to hear. And he sat and he thought for a second. He goes, you know, Dad, you just taught me so much about life. I just got to go out and put it to practice.
Damn.
And I was like, ah.
That's dope.
That's
killer answer.
It.
Yeah,
that's
dope.
And like, he's out there just, you know, taking pictures, meeting people. Like,
what was your response to that? Like, when he bought a ticket, like, right after high school to go backpack to Europe?
Well, like any parent, you're nervous.
Yeah.
And you're like, where are you staying? You know, you've been safe most of your life.
For sure.
Like, you didn't have to survive like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you're going to handle a sticky situation.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, I don't know that yet. Right. So it's kind of like, I've never seen you, like, someone punks you. What do you do?
Right.
If someone tries to rob you, what do you do?
Right.
Like, I don't know how you're going to handle that. So that went through my mind. However, I didn't say that stuff to him because I wanted him to know that I had the confidence and trust that he was going to make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give somebody the confidence and trust, whether it's an employee or a kid or a partner, more often than not, when they feel that you believe in them, they're going to do the right thing, even if they thought about not doing the right thing, because they know that you believe in them that much.
Yeah. When you have someone investing in you, it's like,
I can't let them down.
Right. Exactly. Right? That's cool.
And it gives you strength. When you feel someone believes in you or trusts you, it gives you almost like a superpower to be better.
Yeah, it does. And that's interesting too, because I like how you referred to, you gave your kid a better life, which is what you wanted to do, but he also didn't have to go through the things that you went to, which is a blessing, but also you learned a lot of lessons from the way you grew up.
Yeah, well, my son has kind of, I never yelled, I never punished, I never reprimanded him. Whenever something was wrong, we talked.
Oh, nice. So he didn't get, like, the belt? He didn't get the belt?
Nah.
So what taught you to do that, though? Because, like,
because no one did it to me.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
So, I remember thinking back, like, you know, I don't know the right thing to do. What do I do when 4 guys come up and try to fight me? What do I do when my teacher says this to me? What do I do when I'm being sexually abused? What do I do? Like, there's no one to go and ask, what do I do? So everything I've learned in life was literally by living it,
just like
and experiencing.
Lesson,
yeah. Have you guys seen Slumdog Millionaire?
Yep.
How the kid had the answers because he'd reflect on his life.
Yeah, that's so, one of my favorite movies.
That's how I am in life. Yeah. The reason I've excelled that's and crazy. Success so well is because I've lived 10 lives by the time I was 18.
I just have
the answers. I just know. It's like in school, I could always get the answer to long division, but I could never do the long division. So I'd only get half the answer right because I got the answer right. But the teacher would be like, how'd you get that answer? I don't know. I just fucking know the answer. That's how I am in life.
Yeah.
Like there's another movie that we all love is Good Will Hunting.
Yep, great movie.
So there's a scene when Matt Damon's sitting across from the professor and the professor's like, have you thought about it? He's like, yeah, it's in there.
Yeah.
And he goes, what about? He goes that's in there
this
too.
This shit's fucking elementary.
You know how fucking easy this is to me when you guys fumble around?
Yeah.
That's what life is to me. Like honestly, life, resolution, talking to people, building, communicating. It's so fucking easy. And I can literally see through somebody. It's almost like I have this like computer program. When you're talking to me, I can see the inside of you and how you work and where your heart and where your brain and like how you're thinking and how your thoughts are forming and what you mean by them. It's like a weird talent.
I've always been interested to meet people like that because I've met a couple people like that now as I've been in this space. Just people that have had a different way of thinking. And I feel like I kind of got that off of you listening to like your other podcasts and stuff. That's why I wanted to have you on because it was so interesting. But do you think just having those life experiences is what instilled that in you? Or do you feel like that's something like you were almost like born with? Like, because from the beginning, you were 13 years old starting a company. Like, that's not normal. Like,
no,
people don't
definitely not normal.
Do that. You know what I mean?
Well, no. I don't know. I don't know what normal is, right? No, there's no
Well, maybe
normal,
that's not the right word to use, but like
traditional.
The average 13-year-old kid going to shovel. So if someone was like, yo, you want to come work? Another 13-year-old was like, yo, we got a company. Like,
well, no, I was shoveling since like 12. So yeah, like I got to get money. Yeah. So like you're surviving. You're trying to get things you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like you figure out the way to do it. And then unfortunately, I learned it's easy to stick people up and rob houses.
Right. Yeah.
So like, then, right? And then... but that just wasn't cool. And it's funny, even doing that then, I'm not proud of it. And I never even talked about it. Even coming up, I probably could have bragged about it and got stripes in hip hop for saying, yeah, I used to stick people up. But like, I wasn't proud of that shit. It wasn't fucking cool. I never even told anyone I did that stuff publicly until 2014. Mm. And the reason why I only brought it up then is because I was commissioned by a company called Deutsch Worldwide to create a song, an anti-bullying song for an anti-bullying campaign. And part of the process was kids would send in letters and I would get inspired by the letters to write the song. And I'd start crying.
Yeah,
like even right now, I'm getting emotional thinking about some of the letters.
That's strong.
And I'm like, fuck man, so many kids are like dealing with like past trauma and they don't understand how to get through it. And I did.
Yeah.
And I knew how to and I figured it out. And if you're gonna ask me, how did I figure it out? Because I early realized this isn't my fault.
Yep.
I didn't cause this problem. So why am I going to carry it around?
It's like even Good Will Hunt in the ending. He goes, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. And he just breaks down.
Which I cried at that point.
Right. Because, no, I'm sure. It tears me up too because it's like some kids don't know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You carry it around. Like most people are like, why me? What did I do wrong? That whether it's a divorce or whether you were abused or whatever it is. I fucking lost my train of thought.
It's fine. No, but that's what I'm saying is like some people don't know that baggage they have.
Oh, I was talking about the letters.
Yeah.
So then like as I'm reading those letters, then I'm realizing like, man, I can be a symbol for these kids that are like, look what he went through and where he is now.
Exactly.
He figured it out and he got through it. So that's when I decided to finally come forward for the first time, admitting that I was molested for several years and that I was a criminal and all these things that I did. And I can't even tell you the amount of people that hit me and find solace in my revealing what I went through. Because one of the reasons I didn't talk about being a criminal, because I didn't want some kid to be like, well, Clinton Sparks was a fucking loser. Look at him now.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? He turned out all right. Yeah, I didn't want that to be an excuse for like,
justify
you can fuck
it,
up.
Yeah.
And then obviously the sexual abuse part is just kind of like a private thing. And I don't know if there was embarrassment, if there's shame. I don't know. But in 14, I just realized whatever I felt isn't as important as being able to help some of these kids get through it.
Yep.
So even if family members had to feel embarrassed, if I had to feel shame, it didn't matter as much as being able to help
the bigger picture. The bigger picture, yeah.
And it did. And the song is called I'm Good by a band called The Mowglis. It has over 60 million streams on Spotify.
Sure. I'm Good?
Yeah, and it's won a bunch of awards.
That's
which,
awesome.
By the way, I didn't even know it was that successful until a few years back.
Yeah.
And like, because I did it in 14.
Damn.
I think in like 19 or 18 or 19, was like, holy shit, this song has over 50 million streams.
That's crazy.
And then I seen, I didn't even know, I just did it and then just kept it moving. That's how I am with everything I do. I just keep, what's the next one? What's the next one? What's the next one? I don't sit and relish in like,
yeah,
look how awesome I am.
That's what I'm, that's like a, it's a testament to where you are now. You know, you don't enjoy those small wins or those big wins. It's like, you can't just identify yourself as just that, because there's always more. You got to keep going and going.
If you go to my website, and I just realized this recently because we're building a site, and it has a timeline of every year. And this, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this as a testament to like just staying focused on your plan and working, right? Every year from 2001, I've done multiple things each year that somebody would spend the rest of their life talking about that thing that they did. The next year, I fucking forgot the shit I did the year before because it's on to make new killer shit happen. You know what I'm saying? And like, even right now, we're in 2023, over 20 years in my career, the biggest, best play that I'm about to do, and I've done a lot, is about to happen next year.
Isn't that crazy, Tom?
And I already know that that is going to probably be the biggest thing that probably makes me hundreds of millions of dollars personally. But I already know like what my play is after that.
After that, to play after, like, always two steps ahead.
Because back to the point of like the way that I was built. Like, look, I don't have special powers or I'm not a magician. It's just the life that I lived that gave me these abilities and these traits that like I know in a conversation with somebody, whether it's with my wife or it's with a partner, like what you're gonna say three steps ahead of this conversation. Yep. So the thing I haven't mastered is the patience to getting to the end. Because I have to go through the whole fucking rigmarole of like walking you through this
when I already
know like where we're gonna end up.
Right.
And by the way, this isn't my opinion of myself. This isn't an egotistical, like I think I'm smart, I'm always right. This is proven from winning repeat, win repeat, win repeat, win repeat, win repeat. You don't believe in me now, you will in 2 years. They come back in 2 years. over and over for 20 plus years.
That's like, yeah.
No, I'm saying
it's instilled in you.
I'm not saying that it's like, ah, fuck
no,
you.
No, it's
see?
Just funny. Yeah,
I'm saying it like, it's. I can't even tell you the number of people that I would try to make a better person in a company that we are running. Boy. And like, they don't see it. We split a year or two later. I should have listened to you.
Yeah.
It happens over and over again, man. And like, and it's because, here's the thing, we all as people can look at somebody with physical attributes and be like, they're clearly better than me at basketball.
Yeah.
They can lift more weights than me. That guy's the GOAT at football, right?
Yeah,
we can all say Tom Brady's way better than all of us, right? But for some odd reason, we can't fathom that another person around us that grew up in the same place as us might be fucking 10 times more brilliant than us.
It's crazy. We can't
accept that. It's like, whether you're fucking better than me or you're always fucking better than me.
Remember where you came from.
Yeah, it's still like, but why can't we ever just celebrate or say like, that dude's pretty fucking sharp, man.
That guy's
fucking clever. Oh, we should fucking listen to him because he's usually fucking right. You know what I mean? But like, again, that goes back to ego. Mm-hmm. If you can put that aside, instead of like worrying about, well, what about my way? Or I'm smart too. Or I come from the same thing. Great. No one's saying you're not. But have I proven a bunch more times than you that I know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Let's at least hear him out.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think the ego aspect is the number one thing that gets in people's ways, especially people that from around here, I think.
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's everywhere.
Yeah. But that's something I've learned, even myself. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a fucking perfect person. Like, it still gets in the way sometimes, but you got to take a step back, analyze yourself, and be like, all right, you're not fucking right about everything. You're not going to have the right answer. Let's pick other people's brains and see what happens, which is why I wanted to have you on. Anyone that is successful from this area, I want to have on just because, but that is like what's instilled in my head of like, oh, it's actually a lot harder to come from here, but maybe it's not, but that's why it was.
Well, I also make it seem easy.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fucking sleeping in cars, standing in fucking, like now you can hit someone on DM. I literally would shovel a bunch of walkways, get $20 per driveway, get enough money to fill my tank up, drive to New York, stand in front of buildings like, hey, you work for Def Jam?
That's crazy.
And they'll be like, yeah, why, what's up? Oh man. And then I got 20 seconds to sell them on why you need to bring you up to
elevator
your fucking
pitch,
office.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you ask, you could go through the whole industry. Everyone has Clinton Spark stories. Right. And they'll
all
tell you.
That's what I'm interested in too. Like, what would you say some of your best relationships are in the hip hop industry? I know you have a ton of good relationships, but.
Yeah. I mean,
do you have any like in specific?
the answer is the dickish response. Like, Everybody.
No. Like, everybody? No, I wasn't trying to like to ask a stupid question. It's just,
no, I don't know. What, my response, like, there's no, like,
you don't have any relationship that's better than the other, per se.
Or like someone you're closer to. They're all different relationships. So like, I mean, I guess if you had to say who's the biggest artist that you could call right now, always fucking responds, and you've done so much shit with, I guess I would say Pitbull.
Oh, that's dope.
So
that's
Pitbull's like probably like
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah,
Pitbull kind of look like him a little bit.
Me?
Not at all.
Definitely not.
Pitbull's,
man,
like the most humble, hardworking. Every time he hits you with a response and it's not in his signature, he always says thanks, Papo. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Every single time.
That's dope.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot of people. There's a lot of like opportunists.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of users.
Yeah, no.
A lot of relationships in Hollywood, in the music industry. And it's not malicious or mean, unless you're someone with a kind, loving friendship heart. Mm-hmm. Then it hurts your feelings sometimes.
So but this like, was my buddy in Bahamas.
Oh, wow. Yeah. About to put that on the screen.
I'm gonna have to.
But yeah, there's a lot of people that like me, maybe this is a Boston thing. Like, I take friendship serious.
For sure.
If someone says, you're my friend, or we're brothers, that's not just lip service to me. So, you know, if you say that to me and we're hanging out at your house and I'm helping you get money, and then all of a sudden you don't take my calls. Mm. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, no.
I made you a gang of money. Right. All, you literally stood on stage and fucking said, if it wasn't for Clinton Sparks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then like, now like you're telling your assistant, like, tell Clinton, like, ask him how much money it is first. I'm like, what?
Right.
Aren't we brothers?
Yeah, right. I thought you said we were best friends. Are you using all this nice shit about me?
Needs to be a number attached to this meeting?
Yeah.
Like, so like, you know, that happens a lot. And it happens not just to me. A lot of people think from the outside looking in, oh, you know, Khaled is buddies with so-and-so, or Drake is friends with so-and-so. And it's like, yeah, some of those friendships are real, but some of them are transactional too.
Of course, of course.
And some of them are just like, well, what can you do for me right now? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, some of them are genuine too, but like, it's not as once you win, it's easy now. You're always like Pharrell, Kanye, Dre. Just because they're stars doesn't mean you're taking a beat from them. You still got a shot. There was one time Lil Wayne was like, told Kanye West, stop fucking sending me beats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't want them.
And that's crazy.
That's crazy.
And you would think anybody would take a Kanye beat.
Yeah, that's wild.
You know what I'm saying? So that's another misconception too, that a lot of people that are trying to come up think like, if I get to this point, we're good now. No, you're not, bro.
Yeah,
You're not good. You're always trying to prove yourself to somebody else.
Yeah. And is that a good way of thinking of feeling, I have to prove myself to this person?
It doesn't matter where I go. I could be booked for a show as Clinton Sparks, and obviously you know who the fuck I am because you booked me.
Mm-hmm.
I still walk in like you don't know who I am, and mm-hmm. I got to prove why you should care about me.
Yep. Like, as I feel like some people feel like, oh, like I did all this dope shit, like you should automatically pay me my respect up front.
Especially now. Maybe like, you know, in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fuck no. The internet, like, you could be the biggest motherfucker in the world. I never heard of you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It ain't like back in the day we all knew who were the most cracking people.
For sure.
There was a funnel that
went through, and like there was the tastemakers and the gatekeepers that decided we're going to make you the shit right now.
Yeah.
Now you can make yourself the shit. You could be the shit. He could be the shit.
Right.
And none of your audiences cross over. Mm-hmm. And we don't even fucking know who each other are. But meanwhile, you're selling out shows with 5,000 people.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy who sold out this shit
all the time? We went to music festival. We had no idea who these British dudes were.
EDM music, like house music.
Same thing with Two Friends. Like, when I first met the group Two Friends, like this friend group that DJs.
Yeah.
That packing out shows 5,000 people. I'm just like, damn, I have no idea.
It just goes. Well, those are different genres, because it was times like we wouldn't know who's in country if we listen to hip hop. But I'm saying, even if you're in the same world. Let's say you have 10 comedians in here that create content that are doing pretty well on the stand up circuit, and none of them know each other, and none of their audiences know each other's artists.
Yeah,
like that's just how it goes. Same with music.
How did you come across our like stuff?
Who?
Me and Tommy. Because I got a DM one day. I'm like, Clinton Sparks. And you go, yeah, me too. I'm like, huh.
I respected it. I was like, damn, like the fact that you reached out to me, and like, hey, like, you know, what you're doing is dope. I respect it a lot. That goes a long way. Cause like you said, even with, like, I don't take like that stuff lightly either. Like that, I appreciate that. And I don't know if that's because of growing up, like, you know, I didn't have things handed to me. My parents didn't tell me all the time, like, oh, you're doing good, you're doing good. So when people say it, it's like, oh, that means a lot.
But even in this space, like, a lot of people see the videos, don't say anything. So like, it was definitely hit different. Like, oh, damn.
Like, so did it just like pop up on your feed one day or something?
I don't remember how I stumbled upon your stuff. I just know that I love my city. I know that I support it as much as I can to the people that make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody expects you to support everything. I'm not going to support garbage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to step, there's levels to this shit, bro. Like, I'm going to support you if I see you're actually doing the work, if I see you're worthy of supporting. Right. It was funny because even coming up, people would expect, just because I did well, I'm supposed to support you.
You better come put everyone on. Yeah.
And when I don't, it's like, you don't look out for the city. It's like, nah, I look out for the city. I'm not looking out for you.
Right. Right.
And the thing is, like, I put a really good light on the city when I was coming out. I changed the perspective of what people thought about Boston. And I know this for a fact. That's you guys aren't old enough to know, but like, outside of Boston, people looked at us as whack.
Yeah.
Like in the hip hop scene.
I feel like even now, I feel like it's not that prominent.
Fronted on us like big time, bro. And like, I was, you know, there was also like dope artists that came out of here. But there was still this perception of Boston is just fucking, there's nothing going on there. They're whack, right?
Like, I'm surprised like Joanna Lucas, Bia, and like Millie's don't do something, like one show.
No, like, you know, and like, I would love to, like, talking with the Red Sox, I have a tight relationship with the Red Sox. They want me to put a festival on at Fenway.
That'd be dope.
And I'm like, dude, the names you just said, who I'm friends with all of them, I'm like, if we can put egos aside and not worry about money and just do something fucking massive together, I won't even take no money. I'll put the whole thing together. That's how much I care about showing unity.
You got us promoting
in the city.
You got us promoting it for free. So
I reached out to you guys because I'm always a fan of people that put in the work.
Appreciate
it. And I'm doubly a fan of people from my city that are putting out the work. It doesn't matter if you're not literally from Boston proper.
Right. No, like, of course
not. I know you got some other people. Certain people ain't from Boston. I don't give a fuck. If you represent it and you're in the outskirts,
for sure, you're
a part of Boston to me.
Yeah.
Right. But people, I'm from fucking Dorchester as Boston you can get. So if I'm saying it's okay, it's oh fucking K.
No, I get it.
You know, you'll have other people that are just fucking mad, especially those that haven't done anything of fucking value.
That's the people that are mad. That's
the people that are from fucking Boston. Be mad at Millie's and like
he's from Cambridge.
Who gives a fuck, man? Years. Like we're all one big team here. And if Millie's is gonna help put Boston on the map, he's from Boston. Right. If B is gonna fucking say Boston, good. You're putting a good light on fucking Boston. If Joyner is gonna say Boston, which he does, I know he says Worcester, but if people want to say Boston, good. We're all the same, man. Right. We're all fucking here. So, and if it does more better for the city, why would you be mad at that? That makes no sense. Right. So when I seen you guys, I just wanted to, I didn't want anything from you guys, as you can see from the DM. I was just giving you like a
kind of
attaboy, guys.
That's how we do it.
Like, no, for sure. Cause I heard of you before and then I looked you up after that and I was like, damn, like just all your accolades and stuff. And it was dope. Either way, it's dope to hear that from someone, but to hear from you who made your way out of here, it meant a lot. So I
extended my hand to people back in Boston a lot more than say people in Boston will give me credit for, but like I extend my hand a lot to people back here. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you need any mentorship, if you need help, if there's a connection I have that you might need, or if you see I'm doing something you want to be a part of, just hit me up.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. I mean, there's a lot of shit I've done for Boston that I don't get credit for, which is fine, but like, it's fine if you're not going to give me credit, but then don't diss me for something that you don't know.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like there's a show that still exists to this day on Jammin' 94.5. Called The Launchpad.
And The Launchpad?
Yeah. So like it's a big show for independent artists. Like I created that show.
Damn.
And that was me fighting the man.
Damn.
That was me fighting the system to represent independent artists. And at the time, Roy Barbosa was on and there was a different program director. And I'm like, how can you guys represent Boston when you don't represent Boston? You know what I mean? You can't put a show on Sunday night for a fucking hour that puts local rappers on, that gives you guys street credibility and also gives them an ability to feel great at what the work they're putting in. And so I fought for that for a while and then it finally got it. And then it was called Lyrically Boston at first. Mm-hmm. And then it got changed to Launchpad with G-Spin and then G-Spin passed it on to, I think E-Double does it now. But like that wouldn't be here if I didn't fight the fight for that.
So when was that? When did that go up?
Fuck, man.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
That's dope.
20 years ago and it still exists.
How crazy is that? See, I remember like just growing up early 2000s. Like I have an older brother and I was always like 5, 6 Like he'd be downstairs with all his friends just smoking. But I'll never forget like Get Rich or Die Trying tape. Like when they're shattered. Mm. And but dude, the early 2000s, like I love that music.
Then too. You work with 50 so too?
Yeah.
How's he? He's a cool dude.
50's one of the smartest calculated dudes I've ever
I mean, known. Fuck. He's like a wicked good businessman, right?
I knew 50 before he was signed to Dre.
How about the vitamin water? He got big off that, right?
Yeah.
50. Was it vitamin water?
Yeah. You know what's funny is one of the things that got me and 50 kind of closer, we were at a Dominican Republic at a conference together, like 2002 or something like that. And he's walking with a whole gang of people and he dropped a knife. And I was in the pool and I was like, Fip. And he looked over and I went like that to him. He looked down, he grabbed it. And it was one of those like,
thing type of thing.
And then, we've done mixtapes together, records together. Like, yeah, Fip, I've done shows.
I heard you said you did something with Lady Gaga's song. I forget which one it was, but you recorded vocals like in your basement of like your house or something, which is fucking crazy.
All my hit records were made in Boston.
Yeah.
From Lady Gaga to Akon to Ludacris, they were all made
here in Boston.
Which is odd because, and I'm only saying this because we're talking about, I'm just thinking to myself like, damn, look how many hits came out of Boston because of me. But like, I never get like acknowledged like in the music scene.
That's why I wanted to have you on. Cause I'm like, I feel like, cause you're not underground, but like I personally didn't hear you until you DM me and I looked into it and I'm like, oh shit, this guy fucking is legit. Mm-hmm. So why do you think that is? Is it because you're more of a behind the scenes guy or is it?
No, I think because.
Well, also our age difference. Well, for me and you, at least.
True. We're young too. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, but I don't know if there's a reason you think that is, or is it gatekeeping stuff?
No, I don't think there's like a negative reason. I think it's a little bit of what he said. I think it's a little bit of like, I don't think most people know how robust my career is and how much I've done or contributed to culture and hip hop and stuff. I think mostly it's that. And then, because it makes no sense. Like if from the outside looking in, if I'm going to honor somebody from Boston for like a lifetime achievement award or something, like it would be this Grammy nominated multi-platinum producer that sold over 80 million records and worked with Big Sean, 2 Chainz, T.I., Snoop Dogg, Ludacris, Akon, Pitbull, Beyonce, Eminem, Kanye, Lady Gaga, discovered and signed DJ Snake, like all these things like, fuck, he needs to be there. Not as big as New Edition and New Kids on the Block, but like in the same like world of like, yo, this is, I mean, I am the biggest DJ producer ever to come from Boston.
Damn.
When you look at like accolades and success and all that type of stuff. Like,
you get a pretty good guest on our hands, I think I'd say. Pretty good guest.
So I would be the DJ version of New Edition and New Kids on the Block.
You know, Mark Mia the Wahlbergs?
Yeah, of course.
Do you?
Yeah.
We're actually going to one of his taste testing things this week.
I think I called. So when I got into FaZe Clan, I called Mark and I go, hey, what do you know about gaming? He's like, shit. And I go, do you let your kids game? He's like, yeah, like 2 hours a week. And I go,
damn.
Imagine if my mother and your mother only let us do music for 2 hours a week. Neither one of us will be where we are right now.
And he
was like, okay. So then I walked him through how big gaming is and how like the $200 billion plus it makes a year. It makes more money than music and movie industry combined.
Yes.
Right? More people watch gaming than all sports. So like I'm introducing him to this, and by the time the end of the call, he's like, honey, we gotta let our kids play some more fucking games.
Your kids love his kids love you now.
Me and Mark were working on a big deal for FaZe where, you know, we were gonna create an energy drink, and he had like automatic distribution into the military BXs and manufacturing. Like, we were fucking pumped. We were like, let's do this. And then that guy Lee didn't understand it. He was like, he's like, fucking Mark's a 50-year-old guy. Who cares about Mark?
It was prime before prime.
And then, then he was also like, I'd rather go get a energy drink deal than when we don't produce drinks. I go, we're not, Mark is. And I go, so you'd rather go try to get a $2 million check than fucking sell something for $80 million 3 years from
so
now?
So confusing, yeah.
Anyways, that's why my new company that I'm launching 2024, I'm the CEO.
Yeah, that's going to be big.
I'm the guy. I've always been like second, third, fourth, where like
so
I'd have all the ideas, I'd create, bring all the celebrities and stuff, but there was always someone above me that just didn't fucking see the vision, or didn't allow me to make it as big.
So we're cooking right now, literally.
Yeah. So you said you don't want, you can't talk about that project yet.
We'll talk about, I'll come back.
What, so how long were you in the, I mean, you can say, I guess you're still in the music industry, but like until you went on to your next venture from music, when was that and what was it?
I've always been doing multiple stuff. To be honest, I never even wanted to be a DJ. It just worked out.
Wow.
I was a DJ. The reason I became a DJ is because I was a producer and Roy Barbosa used to play all my remixes on his mix show, and he would tell record labels about his buddy Clinton Sparks, who makes remixes, and I'd hear the phone calls. They'd be like, yeah, cool. Hey, what's up with my record? So then I was like, oh, if I become a DJ, they'll want to be my fucking friend.
Yeah.
And at the very least, they'll give me a courtesy lesson, but it also builds my network and relationships in the music industry. So I took my DJ skill that I had in my basement, but wasn't trying to be a DJ. And then my very first show was a 10-city syndicated show across the country. And then I was asked to be on Jammin' 94.5. And then, you know, Roy kind of blocked me and hated on that. And then that's when Hot 97 opened up. And they called me. And I went there. And damn, me and Chubby, and the rest is history. Crushed the that's streets.
That's dope. That's dope. It's so crazy to think like how, because I feel like just from hearing you talk about the way you grew up and how you are, like, would you consider yourself like a multitasker? Like you always have to have your hands in different things.
Yeah, I'm a perfectionist. I'm an overachiever. Yeah. I mean, look at when I'm on the radio in Boston, I'm like, all right, now how do I become best buddies with every artist? Mm. So I'm like, okay, so how do they do promo tours? They do regions. Great. So then I went and got myself a show on Connecticut radio, on New York radio, on Baltimore radio every week. So my schedule every week was, I did Boston radio Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, I drove to New York, did Shade 45, would drive back in the middle of the night 4 hours. Thursday, I did Boston. Friday, I would drive 2 hours to Connecticut, do 5 to 6, and then I would do midnight to 3. And then I would drive back to Boston. Then Saturday, I'd fly to Baltimore every week. This is all on my own dime. Mm-hmm. And I would do 92Q radio there. The reason I did that is because I know when artists are coming down the East, every day they're in a different state. Mm-hmm. If Pharrell sees me in Boston and then Connecticut and then New York and then Baltimore, you know how this industry is. You hang with someone twice, you're fucking bros. Right?
So it's like, literally, yeah.
So I'm hanging out with them and they're like, what the fuck? Now guess what? I'm valuable to them.
100%.
They want to be down with me because I'm on all these stations that can promote their music. So guess what? It's not about me trying to be down with them no more. It's me providing so much value. They want to be fucking down with me.
That's the number one thing, is providing value. Providing to people. Value. Providing that value. But I feel like it's also building relationships with people too, without really any hidden agendas either. You know what I mean? I feel like that's how we've had most of our success so far.
You guys should, I'm just thinking of this now, you guys should build a Boston network of content creators and become the aggregator for all of this stuff. Instead of everyone doing their own thing on the internet and hoping that they build their own audience, going back to like, you know, it's stronger when you're together, like build something that everyone owns a piece of it. Right. So let's just say there's 10 other creators. I don't know. Maybe there isn't. But let's say there's 10 other creators. You're like, hey, we're going to put this whole thing together. We all own a piece of it. Here's the structure. Here's the hierarchy. Here's how we approve things. Here's what we do. But it's a way to put the city and the talent that's from this city all on one spotlight, instead of like a bunch of spotlights that you got to figure them out.
It is smart though, because like if you think about that, it's like all the content is funneled into this one thing.
One thing.
This one thing you're building up.
And now now not only are you giving yourself, now you're borrowing each other's audiences.
It's true. Where
you're building your own audiences, but now you're putting a funnel into the entire city, right? So now like you can't think of it like, oh, but what if they like that guy better than me? Well, you're all fucking boys.
Right.
So if that guy gets on, guess what he's going to do? Put you on his show or help lift you up or collaborate with you. When you join forces like that, you're all going to fucking win. No one wins the fucking game with one player on the court.
I feel like that's what we're trying to do with its content, with the media content company. Like, we want to have different shows with different creators running those shows, like having almost like a, like, I don't want to say talent sign, because it does make more sense to give people an ownership of this one entity, because then you're all building it up to
vested interest.
It's not like you're their boss. Now you guys are all working together.
And they want to blow up the whole thing because they own a piece of it.
You want to be our CEO?
So now if all of a sudden Netflix comes, or Hulu, or YouTube TV, who I'm friends with all of them, all of a sudden they come and they say, this network of talent, we want to buy this whole network.
Yep.
Then we can create, and with that purchase, we want to create 7 different series. Yep. Now it's like, you know how much bigger that check is? You know how much opportunities that is
so
right
much
now?
More.
You know what's making me think about this is I interviewed Brian Austin Green on my show. And it was amazing to realize how many of those stars were all having sleepovers and they were friends when
they were
fucking 12.
That's actually hilarious.
Like all of them. Like every single person that was a star. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, how did you guys all know each other? It's like, oh, we went to camp together. We went to school. Or my mother knew his mother and da-da-da. It's like every superstar that grew up like our age, we're all friends. So therefore, they all end up helping each other, getting on shows, going to casting calls together, hipping each other about this is looking for something. And like, if you do that, and there's some great casting agencies here in Boston too. And a lot of movies happen here too. There's a lot of fucking dope. And there's a lot of fucking money in Boston that a lot of people don't know. A lot, right? So you can even, if you build a network like this, I can think of two names right now, Ed Kane or Ernie Bach Jr.
Ed Kane.
Two people like that right there, they love the fucking city too. And they want to uplift the city.
For sure.
They got money. If there's dope, they're going to put money towards that dope. So if you create all of this content and have all of these fucking great people that now guess what they can do combined? Open businesses in Boston together under that umbrella.
You're hired. You're hired. Let's do it. No, that's a good idea though. Because it's almost like, we obviously do our own thing, the deli, whatever it is, like the content. We're focused on like putting out good shit. So when we're so focused on doing that, it's like, and I told you before, we don't have any business experience. Like we're learning everything day by day, just talking to people.
Spell, buddy.
Even just listening.
So I can barely spell.
Even just listening back to this podcast, like I'm going to pick up. Even just listening back to this podcast, like I'm going to pick up on shit you said that I might have missed. It's like, oh, fuck, it's a good point there. So building that those long-term things though is how we're going to last in this industry. It's not just doing fucking one-off brand deals for Fanatics. That's going to far.
It's not. If the end goal is this big conglomerate, all the little things you do are just adding to the big fucking goal. Otherwise, you're just continuing to fight for the next check, the next opportunity, the next thing. Next thing you know, you're 40 fucking years old and you're still fucking doing deli videos.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Now we're working in the deli actually to pay bills.
Now we're actually working. How did that happen? We got a bunch of things flowing, man. We got, for example, this podcast. It just came out. First episode.
Yeah, we had our first episode.
We
had
like five
bangs. Congrats.
He got his product coming out. I got mine. What else? What am I missing? The merch. We just, because at first we were just like making these hats and.
But then, wait, there's another thing to say about that too. Everyone follows this formula. Like as soon as they start doing something, let's make merch. Let's do a product. Let's do that. It's like focus on the core dope. And build that so fucking dope that people are asking you for that shit. Not you saying, hey, I've got it. Want to buy it? Nah, we don't want your shit yet.
Right.
Not saying they don't yet.
No, of course.
But I'm saying on a level that you're ordering 5,000 pieces, I'm sure they're not.
Now, how funny is it the way it works?
That's kind of what it got to with the hats, though. We did it for fun. And then people were like, yo, we need that
and
fucking
it was,
hat.
We the hat you always wear?
The Boston one.
Yeah.
We made it.
Like I would buy that hat.
Yeah, appreciate it.
No, we'll should have brought you one.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, why the fuck? No gifts?
Well, we actually have none.
Do you know what it was? We were getting a haircut when he's like, Clint can do it now. I'm like, all right, fuck it. We're just going to go right from the gym. So we just came right from the gym.
Nice.
But we started making these hats, did 100 and just to see, sold 100, what, a day?
Yeah.
2 days. The Popple, we had our first meeting.
I want one of those hats, but I want you guys to both sign it. And then
someone else has said that to us too. I'm like, you want me to ruin the hat for you?
You want to know why?
Why?
Because I have a vision.
Let's go.
And I already know some of the things that I can do with all you guys.
I'm ready to go, man. I actually just had a, we had a production company in LA reach out to us about writing the deli up as a TV show. So we're working on that right now. Cause that is like that's what I like to do. Like I told you, I'm like, I enjoy acting. I enjoy script writing. And I didn't take theater acting classes growing up, but I did have a flip video camera and I made movies with my friends all the time when I was like 11, 12 years old. So finding that passion again and seeing success with it is like such a good feeling. Yeah. So that's my goal. But like, I also enjoy doing this. I enjoy doing the short form stuff. I enjoy making merch. So
enjoy fucking planning out those stupid pranks with hidden cameras.
It's finding a formula that makes us all work, which I think you're already tapping into with what you were just saying previously.
Yeah. No, and the ones that I've recognized so far, which isn't that many, I think I named them earlier.
Yeah.
I can already see with their own niche lane within the full macro of what all you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you guys are a little separate from this guy, this guy, separate from this girl.
We're all very different.
But they all make sense. They can all complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times people might look at someone as competition and they don't see the open lanes as much as someone like me would look and say, nah, You're looking at it wrong. Like, trust me, this is going to help that.
You
put this a part of this.
Putting the glasses on. Yeah.
Then we get like, you know, MasterCard to get involved because now you got this person who knows everything about fucking Boston. So when MasterCard's promoting a MasterCard, but it's like, all right, so where do they want to go? They want to go to this deli. And then and then who's in there? This girl who's very Boston. And then it's like, and that's how you tie it all in.
I agree.
And make it make sense. And the bigger checks come because now when you go get a Visa or a MasterCard or UPS or you know Doritos and PepsiCo and all these big companies that are looking to do big cultural things, it's much bigger than just you two. Do you know 100%. What I'm saying? It's
bigger than that. Even we saw, since we started doing more stuff together, we see like the money comes in. And,
were you guys doing your own thing at first?
So quick backstory. We grew up together, obviously graduated, all that. I started doing TikToks back in like 2020 during COVID. Did it for about a year on my own, got like 1 million followers. Then he started hopping in videos with me for fun because he's one of my boys.
He did that
for a year.
And I was in the military for that year. I was basic training. I was like in a bubble. Came back. I lived on my bro's couch. I had nowhere to live. So I lived on his couch and I fucking seen Tommy's videos. I'm like, yo, let's hop in. Like, let's do something. And I just went to his house. We're filming in his grandmother's fucking apartment.
He did a mailman video, actually.
Yeah,
he did
I was a shirtless with the vest on. That was the first one.
And we did like a Boston video and it fucking did well. So we kept doing it. And then he started his cooking page. So he was doing primarily like cooking content, but also coming in the skits
just,
with me.
The wild, the way it works is just crazy. Because I was doing it with him and he's like, you should create your own page. I was doing the military and post office. I'm like, like I'm busy. Like I'm doing two jobs, living, paying rent. Yeah. And I just met my ex-girlfriend out to dinner. And I was like, I'd love to cook for you. Long story short, she comes over, I cook. And she's like, you should really film. Yeah. She fucking made one video for me and I'm like, damn, this is dope. So we spent like a month, she's showing me how to do it, and I build these videos up, and Drake drops Certified Lover Boy, and I'm like, prosciutto poppy, piece it together and make these videos. And like 3 months I got like 10k followers. I'm like, damn, this shit's really hitting.
Because people are looking for good content. There's a lot of shitty content, man.
Yeah, trust me. So people
are looking for good content.
Even just like simple consulting things, like how do we do this? How do we? And it's like I give out knowledge to a lot of people because I don't mind helping, but it's like, damn, it's like valuable knowledge. Like a lot of people don't, because to us, like we kind of look at social media now, it's easy. Like it, to me, at least, it seems easier than the normal person looking at it.
Like I like the video where it's like, you guys are racist.
Yeah, you know, like, it's just like a different spin.
We thought of that 2 seconds.
That 70s show one we did with Gucci Pineapple. Like the ending was like really good. It was like how That 70s Show. It's like the cameras. Like we just thought creative spins, but we're starting into the, like the long form YouTube stuff now. So that's where you go and watch the clips all together, but it looks like a TV show you're watching. So we're trying to turn that into an actual show that I would love to pitch to like different networks and stuff to see if they would ever potentially pick it up. But that's the big vision, man. But I think we got familiar. I think today we definitely, how long are we in, Justin?
I'm inspired.
An hour and a half, good 90 minutes.
Does Justin get paid by the hour?
No, I hook him up.
I was going to say, let's go another half so we can get you a full hour. Yeah,
we appreciate it. If there's any, give me some advice. You've already given us a ton of fucking advice, but for a 24-year-old entrepreneur living in Boston right now, what's your number one piece of advice for us two?
You're doing it. Stay focused, be consistent, be a good person, and have a plan, not just a good idea. That's what I would say to you guys. There's not really much advice to give you guys. You guys are figuring it out. Obviously, you know me now. So
let's go.
So it's like, it's not like this is the last time we're going to talk.
For
so
sure.
If you run into an issue or there's a problem or a connection.
Should have blocked your contact after this. I got your idea. I got a video. I'm just going to go do it now.
I'm kidding. Yeah. So, we're good now. So
we've gotten familiar. Yeah. Let's go. 25 shows, check the pair. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gon' let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now? My ex-girl got a bait now, but she still let me stay now. I got a Dallas and a H-Town boo, got a Betty on K-Town too. Ooh, 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 ooh.